Hello. My name is Philip Hammond, and I was Chancellor of the Exchequer under Theresa May. And you may well not remember me because I am an extremely grey, boring, and nondescript man. But I'm actually quite important because, you see, I've recently written an article in the China Post, which is the mouthpiece of the Communist Party, in which I have made clear that I want there to be business as usual when it comes to China. And the reason I have done that is because this time round, it may well not even be invasion by a less decadent, more fired up, higher in asabiya society that causes the collapse of our Rome. It may well be that very high levels of selfishness and individualism mean that those at the top simply sell out the society. And this is kind of what I want to talk about today. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I'd like to talk about an interesting possibility, which has actually been raised by Nigel Farage, a rather more exciting politician than Philip Hammond. And this is, well, what he's noticed is that his idea was set off by the fact that Philip Hammond, as I say, had written for the Chinese, for the China Post, saying that he wanted to ensure that there was business as usual with China. A lot of the globally oriented people, a lot of the people that are very high up in this in our globalist ideology in Britain, are involved with Huawei, with the Chinese electronics company. These include David Cameron, who is widely regarded as the mediator between Britain and China when it comes to Huawei, when it comes to technology. They include Lord Brown, the former head of BP. They include Neil Kinnock, the former European Commissioner and Labour leader of the opposition. They include retired senior civil servants. These people have all been sort of bought off by Chinese money. They are all basically on the side of China, working for China and working to ensure Chinese influence in Western countries. And this raises a very interesting possibility, which is that normally the way it's supposed to happen with the rise and fall of civilizations is that the rich, wealthy, dominant civilization becomes decadent, it stops having martial values, it stops having group-oriented values, and it becomes invaded from outside by another up-and-coming civilization, which is higher in those group-oriented values, higher in what the philosopher Ibn Khaldun called asabiya. The idea of Ibn Khaldun is that you have the desert tribesmen. The desert tribesmen are under harsh selection, basically. This selects for being highly group-oriented. This selects for being high in asabiya, for binding values, and a sense of eternity. This creates a civilization. The civilization creates luxury. The luxury makes people become decadent, and it reduces the level of asabiya. It makes people selfish and materialistic. And then another set of desert tribesmen comes in from the outside, who are higher in asabiya, and displaces the original group that has created the high civilization. It becomes the society of high civilization itself, and then it just happens all over again. And another group of desert tribesmen come in and displace them. That is the basic model. And there is a strong degree to which this is true. If we see in Roman history, Rome was high in group-oriented values, and then something happened when it built up luxury and civilization that it tipped over into individualizing values. Remember, we have these five moral foundations there because we are pack animals, but we have to rise to the top within the pack. The group-oriented foundations are obedience to authority, in-group loyalty, and sanctity, which normally involves sanctifying that which is evolutionarily adaptive, basically. And then the individualizing foundations are equality, because if you ensure there's equality, then you get proportionately more, and harm avoidance. What we have seen before is that conservatives are about the same in all five moral foundations, whereas liberals are high in equality and high in harm avoidance, but they are low in all of the other moral foundations. What we have also seen is that the people that are high in these individualizing foundations, those that are liberal, they are individualists. This is absolutely clear. People that are liberal are selfish. They They are low in agreeableness. They are high in Machiavellianism, so therefore they are power hungry. They are high in narcissism, and therefore, they desire praise, and they desire power, and they are high in mental instability. And because they are high in mental instability, they desire power over other people. They desire to control people and whatever. And also that they are very low in group orientation. They literally identify with the out group. Their moral identification is not with those that are genetically similar to them, but with those that are genetically dissimilar to them, which allows them to empathise with the out-group, which allows them to betray the in-group by collaborating with the out-group, thus permitting them to attain power within the in-group. So that is quite clear. The liberal is high in individualising foundations and is basically a born traitor. The conservative is high in all of the five moral foundations. Now, what we have at the moment, of course, is runaway individualism, is that society has tipped over in about the 1960s or something into being high in individually oriented values of equality and harm avoidance. And these are now put above everything, and so we have this runaway individualism where you know, first of all, everyone has to be anti-racist, anti-sexist, whatever, and there's nothing more important than equality and harm avoidance. But the people that are the most attached to these are individualists. They will virtue signal. They will signal in order to attain power. It's been demonstrated that people that signal equality, that signal harm avoidance, that signal their own victimhood, that those people are high in Machiavellianism and high in narcissism. They are individualists that want power. And of course, they signal that they're interested in the good of the society to a much greater extent than do people who are actually interested in the good of the society, in order to overcompensate for their own selfishness and in order to attain power. So these kinds of groups, whether it's BLM or whatever it happens to be, are although they're making out that they care about people, in reality we know that they are run by people that care about themselves. Now, consistent with this, they are highly open, therefore, to corruption. Any highly individually oriented organization is open to corruption, and they're highly corruptible. A good example of this was with BLM. It became a meme that BLM stood for Buy Large Mansions, because of course all these people that were involved in BLM didn't actually care about black people, didn't actually care about the poor, didn't actually care about equality. They are individualists who signal equality because they care about themselves. Why do they do that? Well, as I said earlier, people that are liberals who are individualists are high in mental instability, and because they're high in mental instability, they're paranoid, and therefore they fear a fair fight. So they're not going to try to attain power overtly, because they would be concerned that they would be crushed. So they try to attain power covertly. How do you attain power covertly? Well, you signal equality, you signal harm avoidance, you signal that you're nice. And that's how you get power. So that's what the mentally unstable person does. But being mentally unstable like that does correlate with Machiavellianism and with narcissism. So those are the kinds of people that are going to behave in this way. People who are going to signal individually oriented values are going to be selfish people that are up for getting power. So similarly then, if we have a society where the dominant ideology is woke, then what you really have is a society where the dominant ideology is a reflection of a very high level of selfishness. These people who are managed to attain, normally in a group-oriented society, there are checks and balances that are in power in order to ensure that people that are selfish are not permitted to attain positions of power. There are tests of membership and so forth. You have a culture which is highly group-oriented, which inculcates people with group-oriented values, which pushes people along a roadmap of life where it says to them that you must be group-oriented and you must suppress your individual needs for the good of the group. Now, it's very, very difficult. The best way to come across as group-oriented in that kind of context, in which people will be looking for people that are group-oriented, is to actually be group-oriented. oriented, and therefore there is a degree to which, of course, that you're going to get people that are going to be able to fake it and so forth, but there is a degree to which that will suppress genuinely selfish people and stop them from getting into positions of power. Not completely, of course. Psychopaths will have an ability to rise to the top, but it will help to do so. Now, once we tip over into a society which is individually oriented, there is basically nothing to stop these people from rising to the top. The more individually oriented you are, and the more Machiavellian you are, and the better able you are to signal your individually oriented values, then the more able you are to get to the top. And so therefore you have a culture which is no longer preventing thoroughly selfish people from getting to the top. In fact, if anything, it's encouraging it. It's encouraging mentally unstable, Machiavellian, narcissistic, individually oriented people to covertly signal for status by talking about BLM, or by talking about minority rights, or by talking about gay rights or trans rights or whatever it happens to be, and therefore to get to the top. It's literally permitting and encouraging individualism. It's encouraging you to create your own identity. It's encouraging you to define who you are. It's rewarding people for being individually oriented, and therefore it's rewarding selfish people who are not interested in the good of the group but are simply interested in the good of themselves, but who signal that they are interested in the good of the group in terms of kindness or whatever in order to get power. Those kinds of people get to the top, and those kinds of people are fundamentally selfish. And this leads to a very serious problem, which is that an individually oriented morality is therefore inherently corruptible. The kind of people that are going to get power in that context and get to the top are going to have no loyalty to their country, no loyalty to their group, no loyalty to really anybody but themselves at all. And they will be perfectly happy to, if necessary, to sell out the supposedly marginalised and persecuted groups whom they signal about and whom they go on about. And then we can see another way, an alternative way, via which civilization can collapse, which is simply that corrupt, individually oriented people that go on about the good of minorities and whatever are perfectly happy to sell out their society to whoever is prepared to fund them, to whoever is prepared to give them money, to whoever is prepared to look after them. So if you are highly individually oriented, if you are Machiavellian and selfish and whatever, and you've managed to reach positions of power in the society, if you are someone like David Cameron or Philip Hammond or Neil Kinnock, then why not get involved in a dictatorial regime? Even though it goes against everything that you've gone on about the importance of democracy and the importance of individual rights and whatever, you don't actually care about consistency. You don't actually care about truth. You don't care about any of these things. You care about yourself, and you care about money, and you care about status and power. And so there may well be a contradiction between going on about equality and all this and yet getting involved in a nation like China, which is highly socially conservative and so on in various ways. But you don't care about that. For you, the contradiction isn't important, and you'll find some way to justify the contradiction if you really have to. And similarly, then, if it gets to a point where it is in your interests to literally sell out your society, to effectively allow China to take over your society economically, to take over your society socially, to take over your society in every way possible, or not just China, it could be Saudi Arabia or any other wealthy country which might be prepared to bankroll you, then you will let this happen. It will be no problem for you. So that's the problem with these kinds of societies, that we often talk about civilizational collapse in terms of a nation losing its binding values and becoming weak and decadent and vulnerable to military conquest from outside forces and pirates and whatever. But what about the idea that the domination happens via greed and corruption? What about the idea that the left will simply sell out the West to China or Saudi Arabia or whoever is the highest bidder? And once they do so, of course, they won't care about the fact that if you're homosexual, the Chinese may well make that illegal. Or if you're transsexual, the Chinese will in no way be interested in helping you and allowing you to transition. Or if you're black, the Chinese will look upon you with contempt, as they generally do. They have no interest in these things because they're not genuinely interested in the good of people who are marginalised. they signal that they are interested in the good of people who are marginalised as a covert means of attaining status. And the moment that they attain that status, then those people are no longer of use to them, in much the same way that the organisers of BLM, they're not really interested in the good of black people in America. They're interested in the good of themselves and in attaining money. And black people in America are a useful means via which they can do that, a covert means via which they can do that, by which they can attain socioeconomic status, as evidenced by the fact that when they get lots of money, they don't use it to invest in the black community or whatever, they use it to buy large mansions. And in much the same way, we have this globalist elite who are high in individually oriented values, but they don't. This is a means of covertly playing for status and getting status. And once they get it, of course, then they use this, once they're in their high level of status, to get even more money, to get involved in countries like China or Saudi Arabia, who will fund them, and they will happily abandon not only the minority groups for whom they've used to get to the top, but the entire nation. So we have to think about that's the next step, that the collapse of civilization we always think about this idea of when's our 410, when's our fall of Rome, but that's in a society that didn't get anywhere near as individually oriented, didn't get anywhere near as decadent as we have. It didn't get as rich, and so therefore the possibility of runaway individualism was never as extreme, and it didn't get as weakened. The Darwinian selection didn't weaken to the same extent. So to the extent that individualism is underpinned by changes in genetics, it couldn't become as extreme. But it has done with us, and this opens up the possibility that the fall will not really be as a consequence of invasion, of clear invasion, or what of the sacking of London or the sacking of New York, but rather will just be the selling out of the nation to, it would be like the Greeks, rather than Athens falling, simply selling out the nation, to the elites selling out the nation to Rome. And Rome simply taking over in every conceivable way. It would be akin to that. So that could be how we move from American hegemony to Chinese hegemony. Western hegemony to Chinese hegemony is simply people in positions of power gradually selling out all the assets such that China is in effect the new dominant nation and is in effect in charge of the West.
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you could also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!